From Studio 13 of Maison Radio Canada, The Real Statics from Etobicoke, engineered by Denis Leclerc with production assistance and oh-so-subtle keyboards from our very own Kevin Komoda. We're going to take a break, and then Tim and Dave and Martin and Dave are going to join me in Studio 28.
All the people are so happy now, their heads are caving in. I'm glad they are a snowman with protective rubber skin. But every little thing's a domino that falls on different dots and crashes into everything that tries to make it stop. And the mirror, it reflects a tiny, dancing skeleton, surrounded by a fleshy overcoat and swaddling, a furry hat, elastic mask, a pair of shiny marble dice. Some people call them snake eyes, but to me they look like mice. And nothing's smelling like a rose, but I don't care if no one's coming up for air, 'cause I know nothing's gonna change my clothes ever anymore. All the people are so happy now, their heads are caving in. I'm glad they are a snowman with protective rubber skin. But every little thing's a domino that falls on different dots and crashes into everything, tries to make it stop. And nothing's smelling like a rose, but I don't care if no one's coming up for air. I know nothing's gonna change my clothes ever anymore. No, 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 nothing's smelling like a rose, but I don't care if no one's coming up for air. I know that nothing's gonna change my clothes ever anymore.
With me now in studio, the band we just listened to, The Real Statics, are here after playing.
I ever want a shower.
Amazing set. With me,
boy, do my teeth feel funny.
Dave Vedini, Dave Clark, yeah. Martin Tielli, and Tim Vesley. Welcome.
Hi.
Welcome.
Hi, happy birthday. Happy
Luke,
birthday.
Thanks. A little late. It was on the weekend. We had a great time. Ate a lot
we
of
celebrated
cookies.
Back home.
What did we do Friday? Friday we went out. Oh, we got.
Well, I was with you Friday night.
I know. That's why I canceled.
Let me just first of all ask you if that concert was as much fun to play as it was for us to listen to.
Ooh,
well, let me tell you, Bob Barker. No, it was
excellent. It was beyond our wildest dreams.
It wasn't excellent. It was excellent.
You have a lot of new material by the sound of the concert.
We've been writing like crazy. Yeah. Boy, we started to practice
about three songs a week.
Yeah, what do? We practiced. Believe it or not, the most we've ever practiced in our lives was four times in a week, and that happened before we went to Vancouver.
Mm-hmm. And that was by accident.
That was by accident because we were all had free time, away from like hockey or something, and then. So we practiced like what five times before this one, like three one weekend, two the next, and then the last day we said, but not gonna work now.
It's never
get
gonna
it.
Work.
So well, that work. Was pretty brave of you though to bring the new material around tonight when you have songs that obviously you could just pull off like
well,
that.
Well, hopefully people you know who like us and stuff want to hear new songs all the time, so this is a good opportunity to play them.
I don't know if it's braveness. Yeah, it's like I don't know.
We're anxious to get our new record out, Greatest Hits Volume 2 or whatever it's gonna be called, and we want to give the new songs a shot.
Yeah,
we keep on working at them.
The first record we were going to call it Real Statics Cut Their Heads Off and Go Swimming, but then we decided maybe we wanted to live a little longer, maybe record a second one. So we decided on Greatest Hits, but like Pussy Willows.
That wasn't the question, Dave.
I kept thinking I was going to hear a wreck of the Evan Fitzgerald tonight, but it didn't materialize.
It would have taken up too much time, although we do love that song.
No, the ominous specter of Gordon Lightfoot at the CBC is just far too much for us.
I met Gordon Lightfoot in an elevator in Quebec City, and you know what? He was a swell egg. He was a great guy.
How can you tell in an elevator?
5 minutes, that was it. You know, I told him. He asked you what
I don't know. He was some sort of...
Yes, you what button you're on?
Oh, I figured that would be an indication of swellness.
But yeah, I was gonna say Edmund Fitzgerald's a Canadian stairway to heaven. Don't you agree?
Yes, yeah, I do actually. Mm-hmm. Yeah,
boy.
Do you want an answer to that question?
No,
I don't know. We just love playing music, and so why not?
Who wrote the first song we heard tonight?
That I wrote the first song. Right?
It's called Dope Fiends.
Dope Fiends and Booze Hounds.
Now, how did you know about anything along those lines, Dave?
Hanging out at local shopping malls and plazas and stuff, and bowling alleys, you know. Well, you know, I'll tell you about that song. My dad made me shovel the driveway
on the same night that there was a reunion at my local high school, and I was really mad because I had to shovel the driveway and do stuff around the house instead of going out. But then I heard that it was all my old friends who had, you know, I'd gone to high school with had come back fat and ugly, so I was glad I didn't go. That's sort of a tribute to shoveling a driveway in wintertime.
How many years has it been since you left high school?
I don't know. How many years?
Not enough to have a reunion. Now.
Four for you.
Oh, you know, they had it. I was out of school for about 2 years, but people had changed really quick. They're all making career moves and stuff.
I saw a guy at the Peel Pub last night that I went to middle school with, and I didn't stop to talk to him.
Wow.
Dave Macri, weird. If you're out there.
A friend of mine met this guy in Loblaws, and, you know, he was buying kielbasa for his dad, my pal. So he was there shopping.
Oh, Ozzy.
Yeah, and then he saw this guy we used to go to high school with this elderly woman, and you know, they were talking, and he was just about to go, you have a very nice mother, and then he stopped him and said, I'd like you to meet my fiance. So I guess, I don't know, that's it. So that's why I'm not glad I went to the reunion.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that was...
Did you write the song the night of the reunion? Or?
No, I wrote the words a long time ago, but then the riff came.
What was the second song?
Second song was Good on the Uptake.
Was it?
Not Too Good on the Takedown.
Was it?
Oh, yeah.
It was.
That was the first real band song. You know, before when Martin just joined the band and stuff, we were still sort of, you know, finding our sound, finding out what we were going to do, where we were going to go. And during our live shows, it was like, okay, here's a country song, and here's a funk song, and here's a Martin song, and here's a Dave song. But now it's all come together like a neat Rheostatics thing. And that was the first song, I think, that it really kind of came together.
Is that a true story about the guy in the train?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Who talked to him mostly in the band?
Dave and I.
We didn't really talk.
One afternoon in the bar car. He was just packing up his bags and stepping out into the cold Ignace
man.
Air.
You ever pass through the Ignace train station?
Is he the
station?
Guy with the red beard?
He was like,
funny teeth. I remember that.
Yeah, funny teeth.
He was playing cards across the table from us in the view at the bar.
I hope the folks in Ignace can hear this.
Well, what do you think about
Ignace?
The fact that he might be listening? I mean, is it possible that he could hear this song
hope he
someday?
Does.
Or?
Sure. I hope so, yeah.
Sure.
And I hope people who have passed through the Ignace train station or have met people like them on the Via Rail train can appreciate where that song's coming from. Or even if you haven't, you know.
Or like our
pals.
We
can envision it.
Yeah. Our pals from Verdun, Manitoba.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm.
What about Lions Wrong? Whose song is that?
Martin's.
That's right.
What inspired that, Martin?
Never tell.
You can tell a lie.
You can lie.
Well, I'll lie about it then. No. Jeez. I don't know.
It's about his car.
Martin doesn't drive. That's not true. Can I synopsize what I see from what you write?
Yeah, glad.
whenever a semi-apocalyptic event happens in Martin's life, he writes of it, and I won't mention any of the events, be they far too personal to mention. But if you have insight into your own gizzard, and you might be able to look into Martin's and feel the same thing. And so it was stuck in his, and he threw it up on the music paper, and it became
and there it was.
And so we played it.
There it was.
Yeah.
And that was kind of band song number two.
But you know, it's not even a band. It's not only is it a band song, but I tried to play a band groove of the band.
The band, and I tried to do a band accent in my harmony.
Are you
vocals.
Serious?
Yeah.
I'm not kidding. This is no joke. This is I tried to play like.
I was
like
thinking
a
Van der Graaff generator. I don't know.
You know, Martin, that's a neat song. I really like that one. We played it for the first time a couple of weeks ago at RPM in Toronto, and we played it, and there were all these people like singing the words to it, and they'd never heard it before, but it seemed like it, the kind of song that people had heard. You know,
well, the last part's sort of famous. I mean, it's kind of a quotation, right?
Oh, here's written by Jesus himself. He's a Christy.
What about the song next was Christopher, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Now, this is also about a person that really exists.
He's in the next room.
That's a song about
here tonight.
Looking back on the excitement of going out on your own when you're a kid, things like that.
So it follows the Dave Clark theory of apocalyptic events.
I suppose, yeah.
Yeah. The end isn't my favorite part. It gets kind of weird at the end, though.
Yeah.
No. But these... I don't know.
No. No, it's a lovely ending.
It is lovely. I just, the words get kind of strange. They throw me, but I like being thrown.
There was one song, and yeah, that was...
Yeah, so that's, I thought that turned out excellent. I thought that was a great, good take. Really
don't
good take.
Don't slap yourself in the back. Your heart.
Okay, well.
What did we hear next? Next we heard the one about apps. Asps.
The King
was
of
that King,
the
Asps. King of Asps was next, yeah, wasn't it?
Right.
It's really King of the Past, but we call
that's
it King
true.
Of the Asps so that Salute we would get censored.
No. Yep.
That was a heavy production tonight.
That was our Fleetwood Mac production.
Oh, our own in-house Kevin Master Funk Meister on the keyboard played for us.
You played a little Hammond organ over top.
Yeah. And Denny LeClaire was the engineer. He was an amazing guy.
Yeah, you know what Denny said about you guys? He said you were pretty good for a bunch of Torontonians.
Yeah. I knew that was coming. He
on the way out of the door.
And then Dave said, well, that's an old joke, right? And I thought it was funny, but
I didn't get it.
Just as well.
You saved the loud stuff to the very end.
Yeah, we did. Mm. I'm glad
we got that rap song down on tape.
We played the Crystal song.
We played the Crystal Soup song.
Yeah.
Whenever we play that song, I think of the Trans-Canada Soul Patrol. Don't know why.
Whenever we play the rap song, I think of Vancouver. Those are the people who sort of inspired us to do that. Yeah. And Thunder Bay.
And
the
Thunder
home of
Bay.
Food rap.
The home of
Mighty Spencer Muscle. Well, that's staying up real late in somebody's kitchen and rapping about food.
Staying up next to somebody's fridge. Because what else do you do at 4 in the morning or whatever when the beer is all out?
But that was a pretty happening party.
Talk to Clarky. Clarky's a scavenger in those fridges.
Well, you know,
where to look.
You know, when
he always comes up with the best things.
I have like two theoretical points about when you go away from home, and this is like bar you're away with somebody that you care for. Well, I mean, I care for these boys, but when you're on your own, it's go to the washroom when you can and eat when you can.
Yeah, and
socks don't matter. Forget it. I used to have the most beautiful pair of, not pair, but set of like athletic socks. You know, I thought I'm going to buy a dozen pair of athletic socks. And by the end of the tour,
Martin, was that an apocalyptic event in your life?
It was. I like laid them on windowsills. I laid them on windowsills and Martin like put them on his feet. And I had to throw my shoes out and my feet almost fell off at the same time. So there you go.
So when is this album? When is Real Static's Greatest Hits Volume 2?
Oh, boy. I'd love to have it out in the summertime. Actually, you know what would be really neat? Putting out albums in August and September. So they just kind of, they nurture and nurtured in winter.
They get neutered in winter.
And then we write new songs at the beginning in spring and stuff. I don't know.
Who do you, wank?
The Green Spray. You were telling me, Dave, that you'd like the band to go to. You'd like the band to go to Ireland.
Yeah, that's the next big vision we have. I think that's what
we planned
like
that in the car right out here.
Yeah, we did. We were getting cranked on that idea.
Well, we decided that's the next thing, August.
But what's the advantage of being in Ireland?
Dublin's small, right? And the music scene's really neat. There's a lot of neat stuff going on.
But
good studios.
Canada's just not small enough country for
Canada.
You.
Definitely play Canada too. But you know, we eventually want to go to America. We eventually want to go to UK. But I think Dublin would be a neat little place to go and try things out, and also be away from home.
It's like I think it matches the equivalent of going to Winnipeg or going anywhere.
Are you kidding? Going to Dublin?
No. Yeah, yeah. It's just a fun thing to do. No, I'm saying the same.
Oh, I see what you mean. Yeah,
like it's the same reason why we would go to Winnipeg, or we have to hang out with like
our pals.
To go meet people like and play.
One of the things that became very clear watching you in studio tonight was that this is a very democratic band. Either that, or nobody really knows what's going on.
Second part.
Dave Clark dictates the democracy in this.
Yeah, but nobody listens to him. So, I mean, it doesn't really matter.
I try so hard.
Well, yeah, I don't know. I think that's because we just, you know, been around each other for a long time. We do spend a lot of time with each other, so we know each other's idiosyncrasies, and we can put up with them and tolerate
idiot
them.
Idiosyncrasies.
Yeah.
Idiot simpletons, yeah.
You know, like, I know when Dave's being a goof, and I know when he's needling me, and likewise with everybody, but now instead of, you know, throwing Tim's Takamine guitar at him, I'll
throw a couple insults.
Give him
a
great big kiss.
And then later on, like, give him an insult, because remember, Dave, no man
is a fortress.
That's right.
I know that. That's something I learned on tour.
That's something we learned.
Is Toronto still being good to you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Except I got beat up one bar after a gig. I played a gig and even dressed in a kilt.
Well, that's probably part of the problem, Dave.
And then got paid to get beat up. Yeah. In front of all my friends, but you know, that bar will soon be closed because it got bought out by owners who want to turn it into a discotheque.
But but Toronto's our home, you know?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. And it's a neat place. Much fun to come away. It's so much fun to come to Montreal and to go to Vancouver, where we'll be there March 7th and 17th.
But where we really want to go is where all the heavies go.
Led Zeppelin town.
That's right.
Because you know what? We met a guy in a bowling alley one night. No, we were there to take publicity pictures or something. Long bowling time alley, long time
new
ago.
New wave shots.
So we said, you know, we're musicians. Do you mind if we take some shots in your bowling lanes? And he said, yeah, I'm a musician too. And we said, oh, yeah. And he said, yeah, I wrote this song called A Zeppelin Town. It's about where all the heavies like Floyd go after they die, man. They have giant jams. Led Zeppelin Town. Man, we got to write one about that guy. We got to write a song called Led Zeppelin Town.
A couple of years ago, folks would have laughed at him. But now, you know, now that Led Zeppelin's hip again, nobody laughs.
Nobody laughs. He's laughing. No, no, no.
He's laughing. I'm not laughing. Cult went to Led Zeppelin Town.
You know, Brent, the Forum is a fun place, but there's no place like home.
That's true. There's no place like the Gardens.
There's no place like clicking your heels at the Martin Grove rink.
Right on.
Yeah. Climbing that 12-foot fence.
Okay, you're making the funny hand waves. You want
to
question?
Yeah, yeah. I'm just listening to it. My heart is being warmed by all of this talk
well,
about home.
I wish we wouldn't get so damn sentimental when we get in the radio, but we do.
Real Statics, thank you for a great concert.
Thanks for having us.
Thank
great you. Time. It was Thanks, excellent. Man. And all other bands out there who are listening, you know, this is hopefully going to be happening on a regular basis if we keep our fingers crossed. So the lineup starts here, you know. Come on up. It's a fun place. And come up. They'll have you in their studio and they'll feed you free Coca-Cola and you can have a good time.
Right on. Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Happy birthday.